Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention then to the Old Testament reading for today from the book of Jeremiah, the prophet, in chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Just a week ago today, my wife and I took a little stroll down memory lane by watching the movie The Wizard of Oz. I've been wanting to watch it for a long time, haven't seen it, I think, for years and years. And I have really great memories of that movie as a child. When I was a kid, it was just broadcast on TV once a year, and we would make it a point for the whole family to be together on that evening so that we could all watch it together. And it was one of the few times every year that we got popcorn. I don't know why we hardly ever ate popcorn, but that night we had popcorn. So it was just an extra special evening that I always cherish the memory of it. The family together, popcorn, and the Wizard of Oz. Well, anyway, I was thinking about that movie then, because it was fresh on my mind again. I was thinking about it as I was reading this lesson from Jeremiah, when the Lord says that he is going to make a new covenant by which he will put his law within our hearts. Well, my mind went to the Wizard of Oz in that one of those final scenes when the wizard, remember, is giving his gifts to each of the four travelers who had sought his help. So to the scarecrow, he gives a brain. To the lion, courage. To the tin man, a heart. And to Dorothy, a way to get home. But it's what the wizard said to the tin man that I thought about as I was reading this text. Here's what he said. As for you, my galvanized friend, you want a heart. You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable. If you've ever had a broken heart, you can appreciate those words. Sometimes hearts will be broken as a result of unrealistic expectations, as when many a young man sets his heart on a young lady who never returns the affection. Hearts are broken by death, the loss of a loved one that leaves a crushing void in our lives. But perhaps the most deeply broken heart is as a result of broken promises, like a fiancé or a spouse who promised their love and then breaks that covenant of engagement or marriage by loving someone else instead. And when a heart is broken like that, it takes an awful lot of grace for that heart ever to love again. Well, today we learn that even God knows the feeling of a broken heart. His people had broken the covenant that they had made together, that God had made with them. And as a result, it broke the heart of God himself. And that's why Jeremiah today proclaims that there's this coming day when God is going to make a new covenant. Not that there was anything wrong with the old covenant. There wasn't, at least not on God's end of it. The Lord had established this covenant with his people, and he remained faithful to them in every way. As it says in the text, he brought them out of the land of Egypt from their slavery. He delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. In the wilderness, he brought them to the promised land. He was a faithful husband to them, providing food for them, shelter, protection from their enemies. And my goodness, he was so gracious in constantly giving them chance after chance after chance.
And yet the people refused to acknowledge God or to reciprocate His faithfulness to them. And they broke their covenant with Him over and over again. They prostituted themselves with other gods. They had cheating hearts whose affections were divided between God and idols. They gave empty sacrifices to God and better sacrifices to the Canaanite deities. And they treated each other in God's family with cruelty and evil intent. It just broke God's heart, who loved them so deeply and who had poured his whole self into rescuing them and taking care of them and providing for them and leading them. So by the time of Jeremiah, these sins finally caught up with Israel, and now they would pay. The Lord removed from around His people His hedge of protection. He cast His people far from the land they loved into exile and captivity in Babylon. It broke His heart to have to do that, like a loving father's heart is broken when he has to discipline a wayward child. And God's heart is still breaking over each of us as well. He aches when we suffer a broken heart. As we read in Hebrews, He sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. But His heart also breaks whenever we break His covenant, when we don't love Him or trust Him as we should, when we forsake gathering together in His house, when we break each other's hearts. You know, the way we treat each other, the cruel things we say to each other, the way we talk about each other in violation of the holy law of love. All of that breaks His heart. He says through the prophet Ezekiel, He says, I am broken. Did you know God could be broken? That's what He says. I am broken by their whoring heart that has departed from Me. I am broken, He says, because you have chosen other gods to love and to trust and to believe in. He's like a husband whose wife has left him to whore around with other men. It breaks His heart. So faithful is He to us. It breaks His heart. And yet, He promises through His prophets that He wants to do a reset of our relationship, to remake His covenant with His people and to be their God anyway by writing His law, not this time on tablets of stone, but by putting it within us in our hearts forever. So His first reset as the loving husband of Israel would be to rescue His people again from exile, to set them free to go back home to the land they love. But that act of loving grace was just a precursor, a prelude to a much greater reset that God had in mind for His people under the new covenant. And this new covenant would include a whole new way of relating to God, in which His law, the desire to fulfill His will be instilled within us, in our hearts. No longer will God demand obedience only by a law that is imposed from the outside with threats. But under the new covenant, that willingness, that longing to obey God will be instilled from within and motivated by a changed heart. And this new way of relating to God would finally be established when the very Son of God became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. By His flesh, He entered into our world, not loving us from afar, safely away in heaven somewhere, but loving us as one of us to redeem our lives from sin by His innocent suffering and death on the cross and by His resurrection. In the opening hymn, the last stanza, we marveled together at this kind of love. We said, here might I stay and sing no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend. In those words, you can hear the beating of a changed heart, A heart that loves the Lord. A heart that delights to live for Him, to praise Him, and to spend every moment in His presence that we can. By His covenant of divine love in the person of Jesus, God now lives in His people, the church, having cleansed our hearts and changed our hearts. Hearts that now love God, who first loved us. Hearts that strive to please God because of the way He cares for us. Hearts that delight in God's law as a guide to show us how to love God, because loving Him is what we want to do. Hearts that never want to break God's heart again. His heart is broken enough, you know, by the evil that's in this world, by the way people treat each other, by the violence, by the hatred, the perverseness, the twisting of His words to suit our whims. But more than anything, God's heart is broken by the rejection of His ultimate gift to us, His only Son, given into death and raised again, by whom He reconciles us to Himself in this new covenant of forgiving grace and love. Remember when Jesus, shortly before His crucifixion, He sat over the city of Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, and He wept over Jerusalem. His heart was breaking, because while He longed to gather all of His people together under the sheltering wings of His mercy, they refused, and instead they rejected Him and even crucified Him. They rejected the new covenant in Christ. And nothing breaks the heart of God more than that. But the flip side is Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, in those who hope in His steadfast love. That's what I want to be. And I know that's what you want to be. To be those people in whom the Lord's heart delights. Not people who are breaking His heart, but people in whom His heart delights. We want to be those who hope in His redeeming love, who trust Him as He directs our ways in righteousness according to His law, not because of threats, but because we want to. We broke His heart, and yet He responded not in retribution, but He gave Himself up to death, to have His own heart pierced with a spear, so that the water and the blood that flow mingled down from that sacred wound might baptize us and wash us and change us. And now, I never want to break God's heart again. That's the sign of a changed heart. A heart that's living and beating under the terms of the new covenant. A heart that never wants to break God's heart again. But instead, we will live with the message of His love written upon our hearts forever. And under that new covenant of love, He will be our God, and we shall be His people. God loves me dearly, grants me salvation. God loves me dearly, loves even me. Now I will praise You, O love eternal. Now I will praise You all my life long. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.